We see a lot of things. You can even see a lot of things in the news and different things, how a lot of different regulations are going on and how some people are really opposed to it and even just fighting. And I think I even saw in a different Walmart in BC's a worker was being beat up by someone who didn't want to submit to the rules. And so there's a lot of opinions, and Christians have a lot of opinions, and things can get heated. And so the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, and among many other things that we've gone over. So I wanted to share a few verses on that and being gentle. And, you know, I noticed that even in my own heart, a lot of times words come out of my mouth and when at home or to Lisa that aren't gentle. It's interesting when you hear your own words outside of the situation, like if your words were recorded, you know, we have different cameras around and, you know, I can look back at things that were recorded and hear how I said things. And when you look back and hear how you said things later on, it can be very harsh sounding. In the moment, you don't even notice when it's coming out, or I don't notice it. And I remember a time when I was doing a recording with Darren and recording music, and the mic was on and the recording was on. And, you know, we're editing and different things, making decisions, and I was saying things. And then later on, as I was editing and going through, I heard how I spoke and how my comment and my tone was. And I couldn't believe how it sounded then. In the moment, I had no idea that it was that harsh sounding. But when I heard it later, I heard it with different ears. And it's easy for us to hear other people's tones and the way they speak, but it's harder for ourselves to hear our own gentleness or our own sharpness. And it's interesting, if we would hear it in that light, we would take it quite seriously. And so that was an eye opener for me when I heard my own voice and how sharp it was. It was shameful for me. So I want to read a few verses. I think the most common one, and when we think of gentleness, we have to take our example from Jesus Christ himself. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said, it's in Matthew 11, 29, very common verse. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, there's a key to finding rest. Take up his yoke. Well, come to him. First of all, we have to come to him. We have to take up his yoke. And then we need to learn from him. Coming, taking up the yoke, and learning. And learning from him means learning the way he walked. That's the way we need to walk, by his Holy Spirit. And the things he pointed out of when we're supposed to come and what we're supposed to learn is we're supposed to learn how meek and gentle he is. That's what we need to learn from him. How did he respond to us? You know, he didn't, when our candle was barely flickering, when the wick was just, had just a smolder on it, did he cut it off? He did not. You know, when our reed, when we were bent and almost broken, did he completely just break us and uproot us? He did not. You know, a bent reed, he didn't break, and a smoldering flax, he didn't snuff out. So the Bible says, and there's another verse that says, and I think it's in Hosea, that he drew them with gentle cords. He drew them. And David says in Psalm chapter 18, verse 35, "You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up, and your gentleness has made me great." Have you ever thought about how his gentleness makes us great? We would be nothing if it wasn't for his mercy and his kindness and his gentleness towards us. And it's because of his gentleness that we can actually stand and we can be great. Because, and we can fear him because we've been forgiven much. So I'm going to read a few verses now from instruction that Paul gives. And the first one is in Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2. All right, Ephesians 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Another version says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient. Be patient with each other and making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always be humble and gentle. Now, some may be asking, well, what about being bold? You know, what about when we hate sin, we got to be bold and we got to, you know, we should be rebuking and exhorting and being strong and what we stand for. Well, let's look at what Jesus, when the adulterous woman was thrown at Jesus' feet, who was around her accusing the woman? There's a lot of people around accusing. It was the religious, Pharisees. And Jesus, the most righteous, religious one of them all, you know, spiritually relationship, but religious in a good sense, he said that he didn't condemn her. And let the one who has no sin cast the first stone, the one who's without sin. And so when Jesus was bold and strong, he was bold towards the religious Pharisees. When he took out the whip, he was doing it in the temple to the religious. When he exhorted them and called them whitewashed tombs and the dead man's bones, and he was talking about the Pharisees. But we have to be careful, because just look at James and John in Luke 9. There was an account, I think in verse 54, when Jesus was going through a town, and he had called the Samaritans to himself, and they didn't receive him. They did not receive him. And so James and John were thought, we got to deal with these people. These are wicked people. And what are we going to do? So they asked Jesus, hey, do you want us to call down fire like Elijah did and just consume them? Because that's what they deserve. You know, they don't agree with us. They're not following you. So let's just wipe them out. And Jesus said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. You know, how precious is that? He didn't come to destroy me, but to save me. He didn't come to destroy you, but to save you. And he will, all who come to him, he will not turn away. He will not turn away those who come to him. So my question for you is, when you're engaging in a heated argument or a heated debate and you think it's truth, ask yourself, what type of spirit are you of in that moment? Are you from this? Is the Holy Spirit calling you to debate in this situation, in this argument, whatever it may be? Man, there's a lot of debates going on, social media, and a lot of people posting this and that. I hear about it at work. I hear about it in Christian circles. You know, whether a mask, wear a mask, not wear a mask, or do this or do that. And what is the fruit of the debate? You know, when you stand before the Lord, is Jesus going to, what's he going to say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with much or with little. I'll make you faithful in much. So is there a purpose in debating on these things? And some of them would call them useless debates. Actually, useless debates. It will profit nothing. But being faithful to the Lord Jesus, being faithful, being gentle, that's what people will remember, that person was gentle. You know, that when Jesus was standing before the Sanhedrin and before Herod, and he could have really defended himself. He could have debated. But he says he was silent as a sheep going to the slaughter. So we have a lot of opinions and a lot of things about what we don't agree with. is there a purpose in really debating these things? I would venture to say, no, there's no purpose in some of these things. Rather, stand up, let your actions speak louder than your words. Be a gentle person. In Philippians 4 verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming very soon. So we're supposed to let our gentleness be known, not how wise we are with our words, not how quick we are with debating, not the stand we take on some of these other things, but let's stand up for Jesus, right? For holiness, fleeing from temptation, loving people, caring for that Samaritan that's, or caring for that person that has been beat up and bandaging their wounds and loving people. If someone's been beat up with their words, coming alongside and encouraging. So when you look at Paul to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he says, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own child. Think about that picture of a nursing mother with a tiny infant. And that's how Paul cherished and loved and was gentle towards the Thessalonians. That's how gentle he was. So in our actions and in our interactions with people, or treat them like you would a nursing baby. Just think how, okay, that nursing baby, they don't even know. They could be screaming on the top of their lungs, but you can't get angry with them, right? They're completely innocent, ignorant, okay? So that's how we're supposed to treat people with gentleness. Treat them with gentleness. And let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can turn there. Okay, 1 Timothy 6. Let's look in verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So just as the world pursues money, oh, you can see it. There's a great pursuit out there. People will, they won't allow sleep to their eyelids, some people, because of the pursuit of money. And as soon as they wake up, it's on their minds. Check the markets. There's a pursuit. There is such a pursuit. But just as they pursue that, we're supposed to, as aggressively, flee from that and pursue six things God is calling us to pursue. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. I sometimes miss the last one, but the last one was gentleness. We're actually supposed to pursue after gentleness. If you're not a gentle person, if I'm not a gentle person with my words, the Lord is calling me to repent, to turn, and to pursue after gentleness, to make it a pursuit of mine, to be a gentle person, for the Lord to change my tongue. And if that means, you know, not allowing sleep to my eyes and calling out for the Lord to change me, that's what it takes to allow the same pursuits I have in finding a good deal, right? It's good deal time out there. The same pursuits I would have in finding a good deal in something that I need or want, I need to pursue gentleness. Seek after it. Pursue it. For it's from the Lord and it's from His Holy Spirit. So that means I need to pursue the Holy Spirit to come and fill me and change me. So 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Can anyone think of a foolish and ignorant dispute that you've engaged in the past few months? There's quite a few disputes going on. Just think of them as foolish disputes. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. That's a command. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Don't be involved in foolish and ignorant disputes. The people need the gospel. People need Jesus. They need to be saved. That's what they need. And how are they going to see it? They're going to see it through our life. They won't receive anything we have to say if they don't see Jesus, if they don't smell a fragrance of Christ. If we're a stench in our behavior and we're just arguing and strong in our opinions all the time, that's not going to be a fragrance. In the abundance of words, sin is not lacking. That's a proverb. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. If we want to sin less, then a good step is to talk less. That's a good first step. Because the more we talk, the more we're going to just talk foolishly and slip up in our words. I remember a good testimony that my grandmother said was the older my grandfather got and the more mature in Christ he got, the quieter he got. And I remember going to family gatherings and there's lots of people. There's so much talking, you know, family gatherings get loud and loud and loud. The memory I have of my grandfather is sitting on his chair and being silent. But in his silence, he was wise. And that's the memory I have. But yet he spoke when there was fruitful things to speak about. He spoke when he spoke, we listened. And he said, when my brother came to him who was in rebellion and going after the world and chasing after money and getting caught in many wicked things, my brother on my grandpa's deathbed, my brother asked him what he had to say to him to get a wise word. And he shared from Ecclesiastes about seek the Lord in the days of your youth, something like that, before the difficult days come and you have no pleasure in them, right? Right. Seek after, pursue after the Lord in the days of your youth. And my brother remembers that. Years later, my brother repented and he remembers that those words sunk into his heart and bore fruit in his heart as he received those words. And so the more mature we get in Christ, the less words we're going to speak, right? Because they're going to be by the Spirit. So avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all and able to teach, and patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So there is a time to correct those in opposition. It's in humility. And if God will grant them repentance, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So read a couple more verses. I have 5 minutes here. In Titus, just a couple pages over, Titus chapter 3, let's start in verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, and to be peaceable, gentle, and showing all humility to all men. That's what our character is supposed to demonstrate. We're supposed to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility. For we ourselves, now this is really good because when we see this verse 3, when we see verse 3 and 4, our response is going to be more towards verse 2 when we see this. We ourselves were also once foolish. We were once disobedient. We were once deceived in serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. When we get a sense of that, that we were once, you know, walking according to our various lusts, we were once like this and hateful, but God showed kindness to us. That is going to cause us to be more slow to speak. It's going to cause us to be more peaceable and gentle and showing humility. So that's a good verse to remember. Let's seek after and meditate on how kind the Lord has been to us, because we once were foolish and disobedient. That's how we all once were. I'm going to finish in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, this is an encouragement for wives. Now, as we read, there's many verses about all saints, all Christians, to be gentle. So this can be applied further, but it is an encouragement for wives. And so it says in verse 1, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So it says that beauty and what's precious in the sight of God is a gentle and a quiet spirit. Now, there's something, when I was looking up and doing a study in the Blue Letter Bible online, that's a Bible resource, and looking up things, it gave a description about gentleness and meekness. You think of gentleness, think of gentleness, meekness, mildness of spirit. And this is a good definition of that. The meek are those who wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend against injustice. Okay, so relying on God rather than your own strength to defend against injustice. Okay, this can apply to a wife in a relationship. It can apply to all of us. Thus, meekness toward evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict, that he is using them to purify his elect, and that he will deliver his elect in his time. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all. I thought that was really well worded. And I wanted to just move on when it says gentle and quiet spirit. I don't want to mix up quiet with, you know, sometimes I don't want to mix up quiet with being a bubbly, having a bubbly personality and being friendly and talking to people. It doesn't mean quiet always with words, but we did talk about words and how being slow to speak is a good characteristic, and how in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So it's good to be slow to speak. But quietness in this sense is quiet in spirit. And what that is to be still, to be undisturbed, or to be peaceable. So it means to have a very peaceable spirit. You know, when you come into the room, you can bring calm and peace to children who are arguing. You can have a peaceable nature when things aren't rattling you because you trust in the Lord. Your roots are down by the river. So when there's difficult situations, you're not rattled easily, but you're still able to have the peace of God in your heart. That's a quiet spirit, a calm, quiet stream that's just flowing, right? That's peace. That's a quiet spirit. So that's my encouragement for us. I was convicted by it, encouraged by it. And I know for me, it's with my tongue. That's where the gentleness can, I can be short. And so I pray the Lord would help me and would help all of us, and not to engage in useless disputes about words, but rather be slow to speak and let our character exemplify the nature of Christ, who when he came, we're supposed to learn this, how meek and humble Jesus was. And when he came in riding, he came in on a donkey. It says he was lowly. That means he was meek and humble and gentle. That's what it means. Amen.